B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio in picturesque Dorchester, Massachusetts. Well, there will be a time down the road, not too long, Chris, where I'm going to not have to say that ever again. Town Fair Tire Studio in Waltham, I would imagine. Maybe we'll have a new sponsor, but we won't be in Dorchester, and that will be a day that can't come soon enough. Oh, can't.
When is that supposed to be, by the way?
So the word is, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. Other shows, other personalities here have talked about it. Next year, around this time next year, B-Rob, but, you know, with any of these kind of things, you know, we lived through it from moving from Brighton to here. They'll tell you a year, add 6 months. You know, the sales force will go over first, you know, management, and then, you know, the air staff will be the last thing. So we'll be hanging around here, I would imagine, until, if I had to guess, it probably won't be until the beginning of 2023. You know, I'm going to set the bar real low so that hopefully I'm surprised. But, I mean, I would move tonight.
Well, I'm in Waltham, so you guys can come barbecue after the
show. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a win for you, huh?
Huge win.
Yeah. No, I understand that some not too happy. I get it. Mileage-wise, it's actually a longer commute for yours truly. But, I mean, you try to get to this place from Melrose to Dorchester on a Thursday. Oh, it's a 20-minute ride, you'd think. There's a reason I have to start checking Google Maps real time at noon on Thursdays and Fridays because the traffic is so out of control, which makes no sense because nobody's working and we just now live in hell, apparently, that it's just so difficult to get here. The building, not great. You know, at least the other building we're going to go to, we're going to have like a gym. There's going to be.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's like a
gym?
Yeah, there's like it's like a new building with like a, okay. A gym. It's supposed to have like a cafe. There's stuff around there. Oh, I can't wait. Cannot wait. All right. Well, as we get into the final hour of Gasper Murray, Chris, how do you feel about your Boston Red Sox, huh?
Oof, man, I'll tell you. You know, look, it was really interesting. I watched the game last night. Obviously, a positive result. Sort of to tie it back to where we started the show with the quarterbacks for the Patriots. If you're going out there against inferior competition and not performing, then we're going to rip you. So when you win, we have to give you some credit. But really, last four wins are against the Texas Rangers and the Baltimore Orioles. Do you know that the Rangers, what do you think the Rangers' record is in 60 road games this season?
Oh, it's worse than Baltimore. Don't they have like 10 wins or something like that?
You're close. It's a little better than that. 14-46.
Yeah, I knew it was something wretched.
14-46. So not only are the Red Sox beating these teams, but they're beating them at home, and these teams are wretched. Baltimore's now lost 16 in a row, but they're beating them at home. But you know what stood out to me was, obviously, Chris Sale pitches again, and this is a team they could have beaten without Chris Sale. But he comes out of the game after five innings, only allows five hits, no runs, strikes out five, 71 pitches. And your guy, Hansel Robles, comes in the game. And I'm listening to Dave O'Brien, your boy, holler at your boy. And
here comes Robles. Go ahead.
And Eck. And Eck just says exactly what I was thinking. He goes, wow, that was like another minor league rehab start for Sale.
That's exactly what it was, Chris.
And this is now minor league rehab start number 7 because the first one was against the Orioles. So what kind of impact can he really have on your season if these are the teams that he's facing?
How he has come back here, I think, is further reason. It's no knock on him. He looks like, you know, the Chris Sale of old, which is great. And he has been a boost for them. But this is another thing that you can smash management for and how they've handled Chris Sale. You mean to tell me you couldn't have used him in that last game against Tampa or that in that Yankee series? What was more important? But did you, what, you ran the program, nerds, and thought like, oh, no, the soft landing would be better for Chris Sale as we ramp up towards our run to the postseason. And maybe, okay, look, maybe I'll end up with egg on my face and that will be the right call. But as of right now, as this team has been reeling, and I'm sorry, I look at a win like last night, I don't take it as seriously as I do the losses and the sweep to the New York Yankees. And when you've looked like ass against real competition, so maybe in the long run, because you're playing so many bad teams here down the stretch, like this Texas team and like Baltimore, what is it, like 7 or 8 more times, it will pan out. But for now, it feels like you could have used him in those bigger games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like you absolutely could have. And it's, you know, like you said, it's tough to criticize after a win. But even last night, so because that's such a minor league outfit with the Rangers, why is he out of the game after 71 pitches? Isn't that a time? He pitched last Saturday,
right,
and had additional time off to get to last night. So wouldn't you want to push it a little bit? Like, let's get him up to 95, 100 pitches, and then he should be good to go the rest of the way. Why is he out after 71 pitches? I just don't understand how they're handling him here. I understand, you know, you want to handle with care. But I think the bigger picture, my point is, everything they've done over the last month or so, and I'm a big believer in this, actions speak louder than words, particularly in sports, points to the fact that they're playing for next year. They're not playing for this year. And I think the way they've handled Chris Sale feeds into that. It's not just the trade deadline. It's not just that we're not really seeing, you know, what happened to Kyle Schwarber at first base. Now I think the idea is he's supposed to play in the field maybe Sunday now. They keep running JD Martinez out there. It feels like everything they're doing and the way they're handling Sale, what they didn't do at the deadline, is sending you the message to the fan and to the players on that team that they're more interested in 2022 and 2023 and 2024 than they are in 2021.
It has become more apparent to me, Chris, day by day with this team, that what I said is in half jest after the trade deadline, that Chaim Bloom and the upper management of the Red Sox looked at the Red Sox being at first place at the time as an annoyance, an anomaly. That was actually the truth. It was an anomaly, if nothing else. Maybe not annoyance, but they looked at it like, nah, aberration. Like, we're going to continue with our plan. And that's what's happening here. Like, they don't care about 2021.
It doesn't feel like it. You know, I mean, do they care? I think they care. But I think when push comes to shove, they care more about the future. And where's the urgency? It just seems like there's a real lack of urgency organizationally to try and maximize what this team did in the first half of the season. And as it all slides away and slips away, remember now, I mean, it's not, there's a ways to go here. 22 are their final 38, I think it is, are against teams that are below 500. So that might be...
There's a lot of garbage on
the schedule. That might be the life preserver they need to make the playoffs. But if the playoffs started today, they'd be out. They would be out of the playoffs, which would be disgraceful. No, get it. I get it. They're only a half game behind Oakland for the second wild card. But they would be out of the playoffs at this point. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And that's what they would deserve as an organization. Like, so the players I'm sympathetic to, especially a guy like Bogarts, and, you know, they've been busting their ass. Like, it sucks for them. But as an organization, and that's why there was a part of me that thoroughly enjoyed that last loss as the Yankees completed the sweep against the Red Sox earlier this week, Chris, as you have.
Yeah.
Anthony Rizzo returned from COVID, and he is a factor both at the plate and at first base. And just to open up that game as he blasts one past Dahlbeck, who can't really handle it at first base. Like, it was just such sweet, poetic justice.
And Andrew Heaney, the starter they got, who's no great shakes, but he's a serviceable starter. He sort of,
he comes back out, mows him down, the seventh or whatever it was, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the type of body. I'm not saying they should have gotten Andrew Heaney. I would have actually gotten Kyle Gibson, who went to Philly. But they put all their eggs in the Sale basket. He's pitching pretty well, but you're not pitching him in any games that really mean anything. Or let me rephrase. You're pitching him in games that you could win without him. When the idea is that he's supposed to be an addition that makes a difference. Making a difference would mean I'm going to pitch him in games where we don't have as good a chance to win. He hasn't pitched in any of those games yet, and you're sort of running out of time here.
Yeah, and the other thing too, just as an aside, as we're kind of kicking the Red Sox while they're down, you know that this, well, now it's a tropical storm, Henri. Is going to be coming through tomorrow. This game is tonight. Why didn't you schedule a doubleheader today? Like, just bump it up. Like, okay, like, we know we're probably not going to get Sunday's game in. You have this big storm coming, just for precautionary measures, even if it's going to die down, and apparently it's going to be now hitting Western Mass. But still, going to be a gross day tomorrow. You're in all likelihood going to have to call that game. Have a doubleheader today, you idiots. You know, like, as I said it time and again my whole life, no one gets in the way of the Boston Red Sox like the Boston Red Sox.
We, you know what was interesting? I will say that, so, you know, Brian O'Halloran, who's the GM, because we know that Chaim Bloom has the chief baseball officer title.
Wee-oo-wee-oo.
And, you know, he was on with the guys across the street and said, if we don't make the playoffs, blame the front office. No problem there, Brian. I got you. I hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear. But I think that was interesting, though, that he came out and said that. I think he probably wins some points with ownership, sort of coming out there and saying that. And it's interesting that maybe they sent him out there to try and convey the message in a way that people will absorb and buy, because I feel like a lot of people aren't buying what Chaim Bloom's selling at this point.
No, they're definitely not. And I understand why, too. So, yeah, looking at their next 18 games, the Red Sox, 11 against losing teams. And, you know, so they look
But
like
aren't
they
the other the other seven are against the Rays?
They sure are. So, yep, you'll have a real opportunity in those seven games to take over first place. But based on what you've seen since the trade deadline, will they? They won't. Seven against the first place Rays. I'm sorry. They're not going to make any headway there. You can forget about the American League East. Can they get into the playoffs? Sure. Yeah, via the wild card. But I have already taken my nail, and I have placed it in the coffin. You still want one? You didn't want one last week. You want one?
I'm not quite ready for one yet, but I'm getting close. And I'll say this, too, on this Red Sox subject. Even if they make the playoffs, if they're the wild card, you know, to go from where they were, I mean, the wild card is such a coin flip. They could win it. I get it. But for everything you invested to come down to that one game, even making the playoffs, that feels like a little bit of a failure.
All right. We'll circle back to the Patriots. Their shutout win over the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night. How the quarterbacks looked. And along with your phone calls as well. And Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gaspar and Murray.
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Second straight week of the preseason without Nick Folk. Once again, the duties this evening belong in the placements to Quinn Nordine, the rookie undrafted free agent from Michigan. He'll attempt here from 36 out of a hole to Bailey. Nordine's kick. Slicing to the right is no good. He was 3-for-3 on field goal attempts last Thursday. He's 0-for-1 on this Thursday. The point after try by Nordine.
Oh, come on.
And Quinn Nordine misses another. So he's had an errant field goal try tonight for the second time in as many weeks. He misses an extra point. Nordine tried to overcome the struggles earlier tonight with a point after try. Corey snap held by Bailey. That kick wayward to the right.
Oh, man. It's in his head now.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's how you lose a job. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thank God this was the instrumental. You kind of shook me up a little bit there, because... Like, wait a minute.
I hadn't heard either. I was like, oh, it's in the system.
Oh, it's in the system now? Oh, okay. I thought you were just like, all right, playing, you know, a good song here. But I was like, make sure with the edited version. Anyway, Quinn Nordine, who I was, you know, you see this kid in camp kicking like near 70-yard field goals in that first preseason win over Washington, straight down the middle, near 50 yards. Like, all right. This could be the new kicker of the Patriots. And how about that? They've been very good with the kicker over the last, well, like 30 years. You go from Vinatieri to Gostkowski, and now maybe this is the new guy. And, well, apparently not. That's how you end up going back looking for jobs on LinkedIn. I liked how the kid carried himself one of those last training camps before they started these preseason games, Chris, saying, like, he had that whole aw shucks demeanor. And,
yeah.
Seemed very relatable. Like, I'm just trying to make the best of this situation. I was literally looking for jobs on LinkedIn. You'll be doing that again after this performance.
You're right. I mean, I think they want to get him on the practice squad. He needs a little more seasoning. Inconsistent, big leg. The one thing that was a little dismaying is that he did go full Scott Sisson once he missed once, and that's tough. That tells you that from a mental standpoint. And look, it's like golf, right? I mean, I know you're a big golfer.
Oh, Chris, those extra points he missed were like yours truly off the tee box time and time again. Well, maybe this adjustment. No, it's going right. That's why you gotta buy a new box of balls every time you play. You just suck. Doesn't matter how many adjustments you make, how many lessons you take. You just stink, Jim. But yeah, it's like that. Like once you're in your head, you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what happened to him. So let's see how he kicks in the final game. But yeah, after that, there's no after that meltdown, there's no way Belichick can go with him over Nick Folk. You have to go with Folk.
But just on a quick reset in terms of how the quarterbacks played, how the team looked overall.
Yes.
But on the quarterbacks, what were your biggest takeaways, if not the biggest takeaway?
Biggest takeaway for me was Cam. I didn't think he was capable of that level of accuracy or efficiency. The touchdown throw is a touchdown because he puts it right on Jacoby Myers and lets him keep running. He had a really good seam throw to Kendrick Bourne. That's the best I've seen him look probably since the Seattle game last year, the second game of the year. Mm. I didn't really think he was capable of that. I thought he took a major step forward. I thought Mac Jones also took a real step forward. I thought he was better than he was in the first game. He intentionally pushed the ball downfield. He had some real rocket throws to Gunnar Olszewski, two of them into windows. You know, throwing. That's one of my questions on Mac Jones. I think he can throw into tight windows, but how willing will he be to do it? And he was willing to do it, which I think he was a little unwilling to do in week one. Really nice deep throw to Nikhil Harry that Harry couldn't come down with. I thought he was good. But still, I feel like people are not paying attention to, with Mac, that there's still, you know, there's some checkdowns in there. And that checkdowns aren't bad. And that's, I'm not saying they're just bad by nature. But you can't just look at the numbers and say, well, that's a completion. That's a great play. Because I guarantee you, Josh McDaniels isn't looking at that the same way. Every play is different. On a certain play, a check down might be exactly what they wanted. On another play, he might be checking it down because he missed the guy that was open.
What did you make of comments made by Ted Johnson yesterday on Felger and Maz saying that, you know, as I know after the first game, you said it felt like Josh McDaniels stacked the deck for
Mac
Jones.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Ted was basically saying they did the same thing, except this time it was for Cam Newton. They had Max protected.
Yeah.
So he would have time in the pocket. It meant less receivers for him to throw to. But
sure.
What did you make of that? Like, did they purposely try to prop up Cam in this second game?
Yeah, that's a great point by Ted. That's a great point by Ted. He knows football a lot better than I do. Yeah, I think they did. I think they did try, and it was clear to me just watching Cam work that there was an emphasis on him working from the pocket. He was trying to climb the pocket. He was trying to stay in the pocket. He had opportunities to break out and run, and he didn't do it. So clearly they were trying to work on that and maybe get a gauge for what that looks like with Cam this year and whether he's made improvement or not. I think you have to look at it and say he has. But again, you know, when the Eagles don't have their top five defensive linemen and you're in max protect, it's a challenge to judge. Just like I would say it's also a challenge to judge when you put Mac Jones out there in the third quarter where he did the majority of his damage and you're going no huddle and spread empty against second and third string guys, because now you're playing to Mac Jones' strengths. He's really smart and he's quick and he's going to diagnose it quickly. So if you're going against second and third stringers and you're putting it in empty, basically, the defense has to declare, are they in zone? Are they in man? They're not really going to have time to do much other than just line up. And there were some soft cushion throws there, and Mac's going to nail those all day long. But those aren't the opportunities he's necessarily going to have in the regular season. So I thought with both quarterbacks, they tried to put them in situations to succeed and to accentuate the things that they do well.
Yeah, I thought they both looked good, and even especially Cam, too, with that play fake and, like, the accuracy. He looked sharper, you know?
Yeah. Can I make one other point, though? Because we had a caller yesterday in Felger and Maz say, oh, you can't play both quarterbacks because now you're asking Mac to run Cam's offense. It's the other way around. They're asking Cam to run Mac's offense, which is the traditional Patriot offense.
Yeah.
They're saying, at least in the preseason, don't break the pocket. Don't go and run. We're not seeing zone read stuff. We're not seeing RPOs. So I don't think they would be asking them to run two different offenses, or if they were, they'd be asking Mac to run the Cam offense. They're asking Cam to run the Mac offense.
Where do you think they are with Stephon Gilmore? You know, you saw
crazy.
Jamal Adams get that deal done with Seattle a few weeks back. It was Xavien Howard. Sure, you know, guys like Jawan Williams look better in this game, but do you think that they've looked at the tape and how the secondary's looked over all these first two preseason games, and now there's more pressure for the team to say, hey, we got to figure this out, get him back.
I mean, isn't it crazy? We're going into the week of the last preseason game, and there's so little scuttlebutt, so little discussion, commentary, smoke, whatever you want to say about
Gilmore. I mean, the story's basically gone away.
It really has, which is exactly what Belichick wants, and that's great for preseason. But does anybody think this team is going back to the playoffs without Stephon Gilmore?
No. I mean, it looks shaky. And I know, again, you know, it's not like you had, your first string quarterback out there for the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and Joe Flacco blows. And
those receivers for Philly are questionable. That's why they drafted Devontae Smith last year.
But Smith on one particular play, yep. Chris, I know he didn't pop all that much, but there was one particular play that he turned Michael Jackson inside out, and that was one like, that's where you need Stephon Gilmore. You know, you got to have a real number one cornerback. And while I'm down on him a little bit, but based on just how this has looked so far, and Jalen Mills looks meh, and if that's going to be like your backup to Stephon Gilmore, if he's not there, like that's not good enough. And I do think you're going to rely heavily on your defense. It does feel like you've got to have him back this year.
I agree. And the other issue I would look at is what's his ability going to be to play early, and is he more susceptible to injury in the early going if he doesn't see any game action here or any like practice action? The clock is ticking. We have to get to a point where he's participating in competitive practices. Maybe you wouldn't play him in the last preseason game anyway, but he's going to walk out there in week one if he plays with really not a lot under his belt. And how many snaps can he go, and will he get hurt? Now, I do remember back in 2007, they had a contract issue with Asante Samuel, and he essentially, you know, came out of nowhere to start against the Jets with really no training camp. And he had a pretty good year, you know, right down to the drop in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll leave that for another time. So it can be done. But it's asking a lot, and it's asking a lot of a guy who can get nicked up in Gilmore to be able to make it all the way through a 17-game season without any real ramp-up time.
Brandon in Boston on the Patriots. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know, Cam Newton's going to start week one and more so all games because, you know, I think Bill Belichick wants to look out for Cam Newton. We all know this is Cam Newton's last year on this team. And I think Bill Belichick wants him to get a major contract and live well with another team. Now, say something happens, whether it's COVID or he gets an injury, Mac Jones will be that guy to take those starts. And what I'm worried about is Tennessee, the Bills, the Saints, the Giants, Tampa, and Cleveland. These are teams that play a lot of man-to-man coverage and zone coverage. So now it's regular season. You're going to see the deficiencies of Mac Jones because Josh McDaniels likes him to throw that ball down the field. So if they're taking away that running game and that defense is forcing you to throw, I think you're going to see some trouble. And Mac Jones is going to look like a rookie for the first time. So that's what I'm worried about.
Well, Brandon, I think no matter what, I mean, once defensive coordinators get tape on the kid, at any point, like, he's going to look like a rookie. Even if he gets redshirted this year and he plays next year as your starter, which in all likelihood, this is probably the way it's going to play out. I know that's not easy for a lot of people to hear because they're clamoring for Mac Jones now. But, like, at some point, he's going to look like a kid that's never played in the league. That's just a given. It happens to everybody.
I mean,
it happened
normally,
to Peyton Manning.
Yes, absolutely. And even last year with Justin Herbert, it happened to him when he had to face Belichick. I mean, Belichick turned him and that Los Angeles Chargers offensive line inside out. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It will happen at some point. My question is two-pronged with this. What happens when you start to see teams that are game planning, bringing some pressure, and with pressure probably playing man defense behind it? Can Mac throw into those tight windows? Can he stay in the pocket? And that's one. But two, do the Patriots have enough at the receiver position for those guys to get open for Mac Jones? Is he going to have anywhere to go with the ball?
Right.
And that's where maybe Cam's a better option, because if teams are going to pressure you and play man defense, and we hear this all the time from Belichick, what's the weakness of man defense against a mobile quarterback? Everybody's back is turned to the quarterback, and if he takes off, he's going to get some yards. So that's where Cam maybe could help in a way that Mac can't, where Cam can maybe help the wide receiving core get open or have better matchups. Because I still think this is a wide receiving core that if you play man press against them, they're going to have some rough days this season.
So I came away with this feeling, you know, better about both quarterbacks. And I know they weren't going against the starters, but if nothing else, it's going to build confidence. A performance like that from both those guys, from Cam Newton to Mac Jones, they're going to come out of that game feeling more confident. But I'll tell you right now, something's happening as we speak, which is proof as to why you have to take the preseason with a grain of salt. Bills are on the road at the Chicago Bears in their second preseason contest. And Mitch Trubisky, who blows, now the backup with the Bills, is absolutely tearing the Bears secondary a new a-hole. They're now going for his two-point conversion to try to go up 15-0. But again, guys, like, slow your roll a little bit. Like, Mac Jones, this is the guy. They found the quarterback. He looked good. He's looked good. Good, not great these first couple of games. But everybody calm down because Mitch Trubisky, who stinks, is shredding the Chicago Bears.
Hey, I just want you to know, first of all, I was in favor of Mitch Trubisky coming to the Patriots.
Ugh.
He was pretty good down the stretch last offseason, and he did lead the Bears to the playoffs.
Oh, they got in just like by default, Chris, because they added the team.
He got into the playoffs. Oh, that's a fact.
Yeah, and then how'd they look? Was that against the Saints?
They got into the playoffs.
Call me Mitchell. Never. It's Mitch Trubisky.
He is lighting them up, though. He really is. This is like the Mitchell Trubisky revenge tour here.
For the first time, I was like, wow, Josh Allen looks... That's not Josh Allen at all.
I thought the same thing. I was like, Mitch Trubisky. Allen. He's picking up where he left off last year. Nope, it's Mitchell Trubisky lighting it up.
You know what? Let me try to squeeze this call in quickly here.
You can do that while I watch this two-point conversion.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, Murray, this complaining about your commute shtick has to end. You know, you like to be a hard-o, tough guy and talk about how, you know, millennials don't, you know, have any sense of responsibility and you have all these takes all the time. You got to be at the studio at 2 o'clock. You say you live in Melrose. They have three commuter rail stations and an orange line on the Melrose line.
Ugh, I'm not taking public transportation. Get out of here. You think I'm going to take the T?
I take the T all the time.
Ugh.
I live right by the T. I love public transportation. It's not always the most reliable, but is it a reliability thing, or you just don't want to be on public transportation?
Both. I don't trust you. It'll get you there eventually, maybe. Who the hell knows? And, no. I have a car and a commute because I can stay in it and be alone. And have
makes sense. And you actually, and in fairness to you, I do feel like some of your best ideas and most creative ideas come to you while you're in the car.
Yes. Take the tip. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're a real man.
I'm literally offended. Because I'll bitch about it all the time on Twitter. And always, that guy, I'm sure he's one of them. Dude, just take the train then. No, I'm not doing that. Are you above it? Yes. All right. With that, we have a couple of segments to go, including five questions for Chris Casper. We got nothing to do with sports. We'll get to that next.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Am I back? There we are. All right, there we are. I was going to say, it's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I see we have updated our rejoin music here. It's about time. This Muse sounds like Muse. Say what it's labeled, B-Rub.
Pressure.
Oh. Anyway.
you quickly lost interest in that.
Yeah, I did. What I do have interest in, though, this was just brought to my attention. Got a couple of emails on this. Want to thank, what's this gal's name here? She just sent this in. Mary Ann Muller writes in. No subject, but open it up. Says, longtime listener from Wakefield. Hey, I used to live in Wakefield over on Nahant Street in Albion. Upstairs of a dress shop, by the way, up there.
Yeah,
a weird time.
Haven't they made that a National Historic Site now in Wakefield?
Yeah, they might as well. She writes, longtime listener from Wakefield. Would love your take on this post today from TB12. Things that make you go, and with a crying laughing emoji. Well, okay. Scroll down here. It's Brady on his stories on Instagram. And he writes, appreciation, perspective, gratitude with a heart emoji. And then it looks like he wrote on a whiteboard here. When a toxic person can no longer control you, they will try to control how others see you. The misinformation will feel unfair, but stay above it. That's all underlined, by the way, the stay above it.
Hmm.
Trusting that other people will eventually see the truth, underlined, just like you did. Chris, your thoughts?
I have not seen this post. What's the timestamp on this?
This was 12:46, so it's on his stories from like 50-some-odd minutes ago. Yeah,
I don't know.
When a toxic person can no longer control you, they will try to control how others see you. The misinformation will feel unfair, but stay above it, trusting that other people will eventually see the truth, just like you did.
Huh. That is odd.
That is.
It's like mixed in with like a weird like ad story and a happy birthday to Mike Evans.
Yep. Well, you know, mentioned earlier that Seth Wickersham book is going to be coming out next month after the Bucks-Patriots game. And I there's just a part of me, it's just a gut feeling, not that I know, just a gut feeling, Chris, that there's something in there that I think really rubbed Tom the wrong way. And that's why you've seen this
in
ramp
the,
up
in the
this
book that it, yeah, but Tom and Wickersham have a good relationship. So is there? Do you think he's talking about Wickersham, or do you think he's revealing stuff that happened with the Patriots?
I think revealing stuff that happened with the Patriots. And okay. Seth had to make these calls to talk to all the parties to gather information to write this book.
Yep.
And at some point, I'm just my gut feeling.
Mm.
After interviewing, I don't know, someone close to Bill or maybe Burge or someone with the team, and now this whole thing is broken apart, Seth then makes yet another phone call to Tom, be like, hey, I want your feedback on blah, blah, blah. And Tom says, huh? They said what? That mother, you know, like, I think.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. That's just a gut feeling because I'm with Felger on this, and that there's been this ramp up from the Brady camp in terms of pettiness over these last few months. And maybe
I would say pettiness, but I would say ramp up in terms of just.
Sticking the needle into them a little bit or twisting the needle.
I would say, as Felger would say, you know, pointing to the scoreboard. There's been a lot of pointing to the scoreboard.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into this. You know, like Cam Newton tried to tell us after that Instagram post the day after the first preseason game, where he looked like he wasn't in the best of moods after that game, and I think he wanted more playing time. He talks about loyalty in his Instagram post. Then he's like asked about it. Oh, no, guys, that had nothing to do with the game or football. Oh, pshaw, please. Yeah, right. This is how today's athletes, Chris, communicate.
You think so? Yeah,
yes.
Passive aggressive
bitchiness on social media. It's not just athletes; it's the world.
It is cryptic. But I'm wondering who the heck he could be referencing, because Tom has done a really good job over the years, and he's able to do this because he is Tom Brady, of sort of insulating himself from negativity. He hates negativity, so he's been able to sort of build this bubble of people around him who aren't really engaging in negativity. So who would he be referencing?
And I'm going with Bill. Toxic person can no longer control you. They will try to control how others see you.
Could it be bearish?
The misinformation will feel unfair, but stay above it, trusting that other people will eventually see the truth, just like you did. Hmm. Maybe it's that wife is, too.
Mike Lombardi?
Oh, yeah, it could be Mike Lombardi. Ugh, that guy. But Tom tries to act above it, but it is an act. Like, because again, he gets.
Oh, he's as competitive as. Yeah. And he said it on the shop, right? 90% of what comes out of my mouth is not what I'm really thinking. He admitted that.
Yeah, and he deals in dirt. Like, again, who you call him that mother effer? You know, oh, and by the way, with these dual, with the joint practices that the Bucks had with the Titans this week,
he said it was not Tannehill.
It was not Ryan Tannehill.
He said. That was my pick. I thought it was Tannehill.
Well, you know, I have a new belief. You know who? It's Nick Foles. Nick Foles is the MF-er.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Brady hates Foles. Backup quarterback that beat him in the Super Bowl. Backup quarterback who mocked him on Twitter with the Philly special before the Tiger Phil match going back a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Backup quarterback who embarrassed him again on national television. First primetime game of the Bucks last year. That was the one watching that. I was like, oh, God, Tom's made a terrible decision. Just, like, walk away from this. When it looked really bad, they lose to the Bears. And, you know, I don't know. The Bears decided to stick with that MF-er. That was a
team. But I don't think they did, though, because my information is that they made a late push for Tom and were interested in that, you know, he was pretty much already on his way to Tampa, and then they came in late. So maybe they dropped off when they thought it's one of those that's like, oh, you didn't, you know, maybe Chicago was like, you didn't dump us, we dumped you, Tom. But, I mean, my understanding of the situation was that they came in sort of last minute. So I don't think it's Foles. I mean, my other candidate, if it's not Tannehill, my other candidates would be Derek Carr in Vegas. Maybe like Tyrod Taylor with the Chargers and maybe Kirk Cousins with the Vikings, because he does have family in Minnesota.
Yeah, but he's got real reason.
But he wanted warm weather. Although Chicago's not warm weather, and he did consider it.
He's got real reason to be petty about Nick Foles, though, and look at that guy as that MF-er. I mean,
But why would Chicago jumped in at the end? So they were ready to kick Nick Foles to the curb for him at some point, unless that changed.
Yeah, maybe they had conversations about replacing Mitch Trubisky after the Bears already started negotiating with Nick Foles and his agents and the Jaguars, and then the Bears decided to stick with Foles. Like, I don't know. I want it to be Foles.
I can tell.
I still refer to him as that MF-er because that's the one that really stings the most. I thought nothing would ever top that the unbeaten season, them losing to the Giants in 2007. But really, oh God, that Eagles.
Can I throw another one out there? Ugh. Can I throw another possibility out there? Because this is a fun guessing game. How about Daniel Jones?
Oh, the Giants? Yeah, right. Wasn't there some speculation he might go to New York?
And it's like Joe Judge, and that's, you know, where his son Jack spends some time. And in New York, it was something, you know, Giselle likes New York. So he wasn't going to go to the Jets, obviously. But how about the Giants? You know, Joe Judge is there. There's some people there. And maybe they were like, oh, no, we're going to stay with Daniel Jones. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But I like this petty post. I'm going to say that's Bill. That's what I'm going
okay.
with. Do you see his kid, too, was the ball boy this
week? Yeah, which is kind of cool.
He's sprouted up. All of a sudden, he's a lank.
You know, he looks, it's funny, you look at him in the face, he looks a little bit like Tom. Like, you can see the resemblance. I remember working the preseason game when it was announced he was born in I think it was 2008. So that makes me feel like a little old. But yeah, that's crazy. He looks like Tom. You can see it in the face. Time flies, huh?
Yeah.
How old is the kid? 12, 13?
Something like that. I mean, just with the induction ceremony, what was that, a couple of weeks ago at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Chris, where, you know, Calvin Johnson goes in, and Calvin Johnson came into the league when Brady won, what, his second Super Bowl, third, whatever the hell it was, and he's already retired and into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It is unbelievable to think about Brady's longevity at this point. I wonder how much longer he's going to go.
I think two more years, this year and next. I think it'll be done. I think after 2022.
I think he might try it at 46. I really do. If he's still playing at a high level, he might try it at 46, especially if the team around him is good. If Tampa's still good, he might push it. Because I think he's one of those guys where I just don't know if he's going to be able to walk away when it's time to walk away.
I mean, it's insane. I mean, the guy's played half my life.
It is incredible to look
so
at it, too.
Stupid.
The other thing, too, is like a lot of these Hollywood celebrities, you look at, as he's aged through the years, he looks better. Like, do you see pictures of him in 2001 and, like, his face is kind of...
Oh, he's got beer bloat.
He does.
Yeah, that's a guy that, like, likes hot dogs and beer.
Yes.
And, like, going out and getting after it. Now, yeah. I mean, the discipline that he and, you know, those in Hollywood that, like, people that are, you know, in our age, well, my age, you're a little younger, still Gen X, though.
No, Xennial.
But us Gen Xers, Chris, like, the discipline that it takes to stay lean and not get gross, I mean, it's... I know, you know, I made the conscious decision a couple of years ago. I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. It's just too difficult. Like, I give all the credit in the world to those people.
What about Felger? Felger still does it?
Yeah, he's out of his mind.
He really is.
Yeah, you know, he wants pizza, but, like, he won't allow himself pizza. I don't have that kind of willpower. I did it once. I don't anymore, and I don't regret that. Like, I'm going to have pizza if I want it, and I'm going to have those wings, and I'm going to douse them in blue cheese. I make no regrets there. I have no regrets there. All right, and with that, let's get into five questions for Chris Gasper. Ain't got nothing to do with sports, huh?
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five.
Chrissy, question number one. What would you do if you and the wife moved into a new house and you found $100,000 hidden in that house? Straight cash? In a shoebox.
I probably would report that I found $20,000 in cash in the house, and I want to make sure it returns to its rightful owner.
I mean, Chris, cash has no owner. Like, you find cash, cash is yours. I would say nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel a little bad. Again, I might be like, oh, I found $10,000 in cash in this house.
Question number two. What national landmark do you care about the least? Mount Rushmore, Yellowstone, Redwood Forest, Niagara Falls. Is there a park National Landmark.
That's a tough one.
Washington Monument. Like something. Hey, even Bunker Hill. Like, is there a monument? You're like, ugh. Overrated. Tear down those walls.
That's a good Ronald Reagan. I mean, not really. Not off the top of my head. I mean, I like history, so I'm kind of into it. I mean, you know, I think my stance on some of the Confederate statues is well known. I think you could take a lot of those down. I've been to Richmond, Virginia. That whole avenue there, I think you could redecorate that. But not really. I mean, I've never even been to Mount Rushmore. I would like to go. So, and I love the Washington Monument. No, I can't really think of one that I don't like.
Yeah, me either. I don't know. I like all that kind of stuff.
Me too.
I've been to Mount Rushmore. This is going back like 20 years, a trip I, like basically my dad and I drove across the country. Went, and I expected it to be kind of overrated. Kind of cool. It's huge. Like, it's real big. So I think it's worth seeing. But boy, is that a pain in the ass to get to. So ultimately, I like them all. I would like to go to the Redwood Forest at some point. I don't know if that'll end up happening. But
yeah, no, I've been. It's really cool. I definitely wouldn't want to, you know, do any damage to that. So yeah, I really can't think of one.
Next, Chris. What would you name a hurricane if you were in charge, as Henri is supposedly coming?
Oh, so I like the French name. So here's one I would do. Hurricane Laurent.
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 Isn't that what you said you would also name your kid?
I did, actually. Yeah. So I'm really big into French names. So, like, you know, I like this Henri, Thierry, Eden, which is E-D-E-N. Olivier. Hurricane Olivier would do it as well.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah, Olivier. Yeah. But yeah, Laurent. Like Saint Laurent. Laurent.
Come and wreck the area.
Or how about this one? How about Hurricane Givenchy?
Oh, Hurricane Givenchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come wreck the area and leave a beautiful perfume. Next, what is this? Question number 4. Chris, should all bars be open until 4 a.m.? Or is that too exhausting?
That's too exhausting. Some should be, not all of them. You know what? Honestly, I would rather have happy hour here again than the bars open until 4.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, people really love drinking around here, Chris. Like, that happy hour thing, like, well, good in theory. I just don't know if it's a good one for here.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I mean, other places have it.
Yeah, but people don't love drinking like they love drinking here.
I understand. I know. I just, for me, like, you know, the way people you're describing, they love drinking, you know, that's how I feel about saving money. And just the prospect of being able to save that money, I say bring it back.
Final question, Chris. This is ripped from the headlines. This was on a plane in England, it was, yeah. A man said service on the rest of his flight was abhorrent, even from those working on the plane, after he refused to move from his first class seat for a family to sit together. So let me pose this to you, Chris. You fly a lot for the gig. You got a first class seat. You have Delta One. You've yes. paid for Delta One, and yeah, Chris loves that Delta One.
Let
me tell
Delta
you,
Delta One. Oh, it's great.
And I don't
what
blame
a great product.
I've done the Mint equivalent on JetBlue. And
that's great too. I've done that as well.
I mean,
they're both great. Oh, they're fantastic.
It'll ruin you from flying.
Oh,
you'll
it's
do
so
it
good.
Once. You'll be like, this is how it can be.
Yeah, Delta at me. If you want any sort of, you know, promote at me, find me Delta. Find me on IG at me Delta. If you want to do any sort of promotional deal,
so. The family comes to you. A single dad comes to you and says,
yeah.
Here's, you know, my two daughters. The one daughter is in the back.
Yeah.
Chris, will you switch with me? Will you? Can we?
Are there seats in coach or in?
You're going to the coach. You're going
are,
to coach.
Are there, but they're not. They can't do anything to put me in premium economy.
Nope.
It's straight up coach.
Straight up coach.
How old are the kids?
9 and 10, respectively.
No, I'm keeping my seat.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. If you wanted it, you would have paid for it. No shot. If we're all in coach and, you know, you got a thing, maybe you're a little bit nervous. Can I be by the window? I want to sit near my wife. Like, I'm magnanimous. I will get up and move.
Absolutely.
But if I paid for first class, will you move for me? No. Back of the plane. If you wanted it that bad, you
I've definitely
paid.
Moved for families before, and I have moved from premium economy to coach for families. Just flying as, you know, solo for the Globe and stuff. But I can tell you that I live this to a degree as on the other side of it, because with my mom, you know, in her health, she has to sort of sit, you know, the front of the plane. Mm. So a lot of times my mom and dad would be up in the front of the plane and we'd be like way in the back, separated from them. So I've done the other end of this. And I'll tell you, while it's not ideal, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, but still, if I paid and you're at like the extra for that seat, that's a big ask. All right, well, with that, Chris, I know it's not an official national landmark, but shout out to my buddy Neil, who came in with a bad monument, and that's Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock is kind of like, oh, there's the stupid rock. Like, I'm not into that one that much.
Interesting.
All right, well, Chris, always a pleasure, pal.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your steamy weekend. Batting down the hatches from Henri, Brian Robb of Mass Live, thanks for producing the show and for your Celtics input. That will do it for us. Chris and Arcand is up next. Talk to you Monday with Felgren Mass. Bye.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Town Fair Fire Studios, home of the Celtics, Bruins, Ribs, and Patriots.
Into the end zone! Touchdown!
Boston's home for sports is 95, the Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Your first place New England Revolution will look to extend their unbeaten run to 9 games as they host FC Cincinnati tonight at Gillette Stadium. Coverage of this match begins at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub. Chris Sale pitched 5 shutout innings in his second outing since Tommy John surgery, helping the Red Sox defeat the Texas Rangers 6-0 Friday night and bounce back after the Yankees swept the Sox and knocked them into third place in the American League East. Series continues this evening at Fenway. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Red Sox. Texas counters with righty Jordan Lyon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.